LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. Our desire is for this online video, featuring part of our Sunday gathering as well as the weekly message, to provide a personal connection and an opportunity to hear familiar voices in this unique time when not everyone can gather in person. So enjoy the service. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Hey there, LBIC family. Welcome to another week online. If you're joining us here today, maybe for the first time, special welcome to you as well. We are week number three into the prophet Habakkuk, this 2,600-year-old Old Testament minor prophet. And we're sitting with the prophet Habakkuk and this exchange between him and God because we want some perspective on how to remain faithful to God during our time. We're living in some difficult times. This week could be a difficult week. I don't know, but I've actually had increasing peace about it and just about all things because I do feel like God is with us. And this is a continued opportunity for us as God's people to trust in God. And it's also an opportunity for us to proclaim the reality that we need to submit and surrender our lives to God. And so for those who are just frustrated with the ways of the world and participating in the ways of the world, I am more and more excited about, grateful for the ways that Jesus gives us. And so, yeah, I'm thankful. Today we're going to look at Habakkuk chapter 2. And before we look at Habakkuk chapter 2, and it's going to be verses 1 through 3, so if you have your Bibles and you want to get those, that'd be great. But before we get there, just to do a quick bit of a recap. In week 1, this book of Habakkuk is a dialogue, a back and forth between God and Habakkuk. And so the book begins with Habakkuk's complaint. So Habakkuk looks at the world around him and he sees all these things going on and he has these questions. How long, O Lord? How long must I cry for you to help and you just don't listen? Why? Why the violence? And so there's this struggle, I guess, maybe within the life of faith in Habakkuk. But he brings those struggles to God. He doesn't just gripe about and complain about the stuff that's going on in the world around him. He brings these things to God because there's an expectation of God to act. And so in the first week, we just wanted to say that, you know, faith, part of faith is doubt. Part of faith is asking God questions, difficult questions sometimes. And so as we look at the difficult things that are going on in the world around us, we want to bring those things to God. Last week, we looked at the rest of the chapter 1 and God's response, which really wasn't flattering at all to Habakkuk. Habakkuk says that his people are violent, and so God says, okay, well, the way that I'm going to judge your people's violence is through the violence of the people of Babylon. And so this was problematic for Habakkuk and maybe problematic for us too, but one of the things that we talked about last week was the seeds that we sow are the things that we're going to reap. And so for Judah, God's people at this time, the people that Habakkuk is prophesying to or speaking to, Judah has sown seeds of violence, and so they're reaping what they sow. It's not like God hasn't tried to intervene in Judah's life, and it's not like God hasn't tried to pull them back from the violent ways. But there comes a point where they continue to persist and persist and persist. And this is true for them, and it's true for us too, I think, principally, that as we persist in our sin, as we persist in the ways that are not the ways of Jesus, God still loves us. God will be there to heal us. God will be there to redeem us. But God will let us go down our own path and kind of eat the fruit of the seeds that we've planted. And this is problematic for Habakkuk because he looks at the people of Babylon and he says, well, these people are heathens. They're not righteous. You're going to use the unrighteous to judge your chosen people, the righteous one. And this is the complaint that he makes to God. And so I want to start then in verse 1 in chapter 2. And this is what Habakkuk says at the very end of his second complaint. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. So there's two ways of being. There's two postures that we're going to see in the passage that we're going to look at today. And this is the first one. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. It's the posture, it's the image, it's the metaphor of a sentry. Now, a sentry in that time, in that place, would be the person who would stand watch on the walls of the city. During the day, during the night, it's a 24-hour thing. There would always be a sentry that would be stationed because on the outside of the walls of the city or the town, they would be looking for any threats to the city or the town. And so this sentry would be an incredibly, important role for the town or the city, but they would have this character about them. They would be focused and attentive and incredibly disciplined to see and to hear what was going on outside of the city. And this is the imagery that Habakkuk is using for himself in terms of how he's waiting on God. He's disciplined, he's focused, and he's attentive because he wants to see and hear how God will respond. And this is how God responds. He says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets. This revelation is not a new revelation. It's not like a new word from the Lord to the people or anything like that. It harkens back to the Ten Commandments, to when God gave the words chiseled on stone to Moses, gave him the Ten Commandments as the way for the people of God to live in faithfulness to God. And so it's not something new. And for us in our time, this is a good truth to pull into our time as well. If we want to know how to live faithfully to God during our time, it's not like we need something new. We need to be faithful to what's already been given to us. Now, for us, we're also on the other side of Christ. So it's not just the Old Testament law. It's not just the Ten Commandments, but it's the person of Jesus and how Jesus embodies the law and how Jesus embodies the life of God and how Jesus embodies an obedient life. And if we want to sum that life up, it's loving God and loving neighbor as loving ourselves. And so that's the tablet, so to speak, or the revelation that God is replying to Habakkuk with. It's not something that's new. It's something that's been around for a long period of time. For the revelation waits an appointed time. It speaks of an end and will not prove false. The words of God will withstand every age, every situation, every historical situation. The words of God will withstand that time. And I think this is what God is saying to Habakkuk in this moment as he's recalling the law, is Judah's going to fall to the hands of Babylon. And we're going to read in a little bit that Babylon eventually is going to fall. But in spite of, in the midst of all these nations falling, God's word is still going to remain. And it's almost as if, or as when the constructs of the nations begin to crumble and begin to fall, it's then that God's word is seen as true. And I think that's one of the things that can happen, and I hope will happen for us and for our nation, is that as we continue to go down these roads where we're dealing with so much unrest, violence, vitriol towards one another, that as we go down these roads, that we'll begin to see our need for God. And it's actually not a need that we see very much right now. We don't hear a lot of language of people saying, oh, we need to turn to God. it's not like a hellfire brimstone sort of thing, but one of the folks that I listen to every once in a while, his name is John Mark Comer. He's from Bridgetown Church out in Portland, Oregon. And this last week he was talking and he was just observing how after 9/11, there was this national coming back to God, this movement towards the church. And I was just young in ministry. I was maybe a year into ministry at that time. But I remember churches in New York City just being packed. And it was almost like the church wasn't prepared for people to turn to God and wasn't prepared to respond in that time. But in the midst of that tragedy, there was this national turning to God. And it didn't last very long. It was maybe a month or so. But there was still an awareness of that being an option, of that being an option. And what John Mark's suggestion was, and I agree with him because I don't hear this on the macro level. I don't hear a need for God. I don't hear a need from God or for God as even an option. And that's troubling in some ways. But in other ways, if you think about the revelation awaiting an appointed time, it speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. I don't know if this is right or not, but for the people of Judah, the end is exile. For the people of Babylon, eventually it's going to be Persia. But the end is when we come to the end of our own efforts. And certainly that's true individually, and maybe many of us have experienced that before when we come to the end of our own efforts and we're just left in this place where we recognize the way that we have been going apart from God has not produced the fruit that we thought it would produce. And so it's an opportunity, for us to return. And I don't know what the end looks like in our nation, but I know it's not going to be solved by an election on Tuesday or whenever the results come in, because we haven't gotten to the end of ourselves yet as a nation. There's so much that is normative to us that is wrong. And until there's a turning of our hearts, things aren't going to get better, so to speak. And I think that's one of the roles of the church during this time, too. And I know for me, I'm definitely not like a revivalist kind of person, but I, at least anymore. Maybe I was in my younger years. But I just feel pastorally and even in my own life, one of the things I want to do right now for our church and for the church is just continue to call us to return to God, to continue to call us to return to God, and to remain rooted, remain rooted and steadfast in God, because it does feel like the structures and things are crumbling around us, and we are certainly feeling and seeing the limitations of them. And for us as followers of Jesus, it's a time for us to return to God, and it's a time for us to kind of cement ourselves in faithfulness to God. I love this line here from Habakkuk and God's response. Though it linger, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Wait for God's move. Wait for God's move. Even though we don't know when it's coming, we know it's coming. I trust and I know it's coming. Though it linger, though it's not coming fast enough, though things aren't getting better, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait faithfully for it. Verse 4, it'll say this too, the righteous will live by their faithfulness. So in the midst of everything that's going on in the world, the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. The word faithfulness in verse 4 also can be translated steadfastness or faithful steadfastness. So for me, when I think of something that's steadfast, I always think of trees for some reason. You know, these deep roots that just withstand the wind, the rain, the storms. But there's a steadfast faithfulness that Habakkuk and God's people are being called to in his time and in ours. Verses 4 and 5, they talk about Babylon and the situation of Babylon, and it's so contrasting to what God's people are called to. It says this: see, he is puffed up. This is talking about Babylon, specifically the king of Babylon. So the he and the pronouns there refer to the king of Babylon. He is puffed up. His desires are not upright. And then God inserts this line that I had already read: but the righteous will live by their faithfulness or by their steadfastness. Again, contrasted to the way the king lives when wine betrays him. And so there's not steadfastness and like a solid centeredness. Wine betrays him. There's drunkenness. There's a loss of control. He's arrogant and never at rest because he is as greedy as the grave. And like death is never satisfied, he gathers to himself all the nations and takes captive all the peoples. There's such a contrast between the century that Habakkuk describes and this waiting, though it linger, wait for it, keep an eye out for what God will do. There's such a contrast between that steadfast faithfulness, that waiting, and the ways of Babylon. Now, the ways of Babylon are just not historic to the book of Habakkuk. Throughout the scripture, as the scripture goes on into the New Testament and then into the book of Revelation, Babylon is not just representative of a historical people, but it's representative of kind of the spirit of the powers and the principalities of this world. And so the Babylon of Habakkuk's time is very similar. It feels very similar to the powers of our time too. They're puffed up and arrogant. Their desires are not upright. Wine betrays them. There seems to be a loss of control, a loss of self-control. He's arrogant, never at rest. He's as greedy as the grave, like death is never satisfied. And so it almost seems like, I don't know quite how to describe Babylon, but it's not secure, right? It's not steadfast. It's incredibly insecure. They're grasping at straws. They're doing everything that they can in their own might to maintain control. There's no sense of waiting at all. It's frenetic activity to try and secure their own empire. And we see that happening all around us. And that's not what God's people are called to. The way that we respond and live in the midst of this frenetic spirit of Babylon is not to participate in the frenetic spirit of Babylon, but is to remain steadfast and faithful to God. And it's not a new revelation of God. Like, we know what we need to be steadfast and faithful to. We need to be steadfast and faithful to the person of Jesus, who is the fullest representation and revelation of God to us. We need to remain faithful and steadfast in the scriptures, which help us to understand how to live the life of Christ and what the character of God's people ought to look like. What we're called to is actually very simple. The complexity of it comes because our hearts are drawn towards Babylon, so to speak. Our hearts are drawn towards becoming puffed up ourselves, thinking of ourselves more than we ought to, trying and scrambling to build our own kingdom and to fix things ourselves. You know, that's a pull for us. But the invitation here is to remain steadfast and faithful to God. Remain steadfast and faithful to God. And we live in a time where we don't know when coronavirus is going to end. We also don't know when the upheaval in our country is going to end. And I want to suggest again, that's not going to change if there is any change in leadership. because there are heart issues, character issues, systemic issues that we need to reckon with. And so for us as God's people, steadfastness and faithfulness to the revelation of God in Christ, steadfastness and faithfulness in rooting ourselves just in the very ancient practices of scripture and prayer, those are the things that I think help see us through this time. Those are the things that I think help see us through this time and keep us grounded. I actually think that the grounding of God's people, the steadfastness of God's people, is a gift to this world that is not steadfast in any way, shape, or form. God's people, one of the gifts of God's people to the world is their sense of steadfastness, their sense of strength that comes from remaining steadfast in Christ. And I think that's one of the witnesses that we can bear to the world right now. It might not be the way that we speak to the world, that the way that we bear witness to the kingdom of God right now might not be engaging in trying to fix everything that's out there. It may be, but it might simply be waiting, remaining steadfast, remaining faithful, and doing what we know how to do to remain rooted and grounded in the life of God through Christ and in the Spirit. That's what I want to encourage us with today, is simply to remain faithful. That's not nothing. Remaining faithful to God is something. Remaining steadfast in God is something. And that's what we're called to as followers of Jesus. That's what we're called to, is a steadfast faithfulness in God and a trust that even though it lingers, whatever it is, even though it might seem God is lingering, God is still moving, God is still working. And like the sentry, we want to be attentive to it and ready for it when God moves. I want to invite us into a time of communion here today. And before we receive communion together, I just want to invite us to pray the Lord's Prayer together. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it and gave thanks and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's receive together. And after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's receive together. We pray for us. God, we want to be your faithful people. We look at the world around us, and God, we want you to move. And we pray that your movement would begin in our hearts. We pray that your movement would begin in our lives. God, I pray that you would keep us alert and attentive and focused like sentries, watching for your movement and listening for your word. Help us to be zeroed in, not distracted by everything that's going on around us, but faithful and steadfast to you. We thank you that the example for all these things and the power for all, for such faithfulness and steadfastness comes to us through Christ our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Stay faithful, friends. Remain steadfast. It's good to be with you this week. God bless you. Peace.